There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Top of the morning to you. Welcome in. This is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard, live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Coming up today over the next 3 hours, loaded show on a football Friday, preparing for the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. Thomas Gable, he is the director of the Race and Sports Book at the Borgata in Atlantic City. Pauly, he said last night on Twitter, they have taken five times the action on one game compared to all the other games that we have this weekend. That is huge. He'll tell you about that and do look-ahead lines with him at that time. Adam Chernoff on the program in 90 minutes, NFL better and handicapper. And then we'll get breakdowns of the Chiefs and the 49ers from two really good radio hosts in Kansas City and San Francisco, respectively, Seren Petro and John Lund. When it comes to these point spreads and the totals, we did see a little bit of movement on two games, Pauly, yesterday, and at several spots here in Las Vegas. I would say more books in Las Vegas than outside of Las Vegas is now posting Kansas City -9. When you look across the board in the screen, several books have that number posted right now on the Chiefs, 9, and that total still hovering around 53, although there was some money on the under earlier in the week. And then your big boy on Sunday, the South Point out here in Las Vegas was the first book to go to Bills -6, and the win out here as well. They also have 6. I don't see a 6 really anywhere else, but I would probably make a bet with you on the side here that more books are going to start to show Bills -6 today at some point. Does that seem fair to you?
Yeah.
And then yeah. I personally want the Bengals at that number.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is a great game Sunday, and I will admit I'm paid to have opinions, but I'm a little bit blinded here by the blackjack tournament scenario here with the future tickets, because I am concerned that Buffalo has struggled since the first game against the Jets, and I've been in love with Cincinnati. And how do you go against Burrow in a big game? And everyone remembers the last thing they saw, and you don't want to be prisoner of the moment, but the Bengals looked horrendous on Sunday night, shouldn't have won the game, but we forget how bad the Bills were in the second half against Miami. I can't get the first quarter out of my mind of the Monday night game, but that might all for naught now with you're down 3 offensive linemen. So to me, it just comes down to, does Allen take care of the ball? And they're number one on third down. They're so potent offensively. It's a sick matchup. They've won 9 in a row. The Bengals have won. They've won 8 in a row. The Bengals have won 9 in a row. And all the preseason hype and the Super Bowl hype with Buffalo. But they have to do it on a big stage. And I have to. They have to make me a believer that they can do this. And I'm not so sure that they'll have success slowing down Burrow and their wide receivers, even though guys are out. I could be dead wrong. I mean, this could be Buffalo in a blowout. But I'm just concerned with how Buffalo continues to turn it over, how Allen continues to make mistakes. I don't trust the defense. Getting McKenzie's back big. But I've watched this now for 2 months, and I haven't been impressed.
Yeah, it's been a long time now. And I will tell you this. I was listening to Jay Cornegay yesterday. He has been in this racket for a long time. He's the director over at the Westgate Superbook here in Las Vegas. He said that sharp bettors, respected money, came in on Buffalo early because he know, and the handicappers know that the offensive line problems will be a problem for the Bengals. That's why they were betting the Bills at different numbers, not betting it right now at 5.5 and like a 6, you know, obviously. But when the numbers first popped on Sunday night and Monday, they were taking sharp money on Buffalo because of that reason. Now, when you look overall at Joe Burrow and what he grades out as a quarterback overall in the season, he was the best in the league as a passer rating goes over at Pro Football Focus at 90.2. That's the passing grade that he got. Under pressure, 57.1, which sounds awful and it's not great, but really when you look at it, no quarterbacks are really that great against the pressure. Josh Allen's actually number one in the NFL, like a 71 grade, but Burrow was fourth. He had 10 turnover-worthy plays when pressured this year and only 16 the entire year. So that'll tell you again, he struggles a little bit against that number. And I watched a video breakdown of Joe Burrow and the Bengals, specifically the offensive line against the Ravens. It was not pretty.
Oh, no.
I guess the thing that the Bengals will have going for itself this weekend is the Bills' defense and the front is not exactly the same thing as Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore's loaded up front.
True. Yep, and they sacked them 4 times last week. The other thing you mentioned earlier in the week was the Bills with the remember they couldn't win a close game last year? Well, now they're finding ways to win these games, and the 3 losses are by a combined 8 points. So Buffalo's this close to actually not having a loss when you think about it. But also I want to get into who has the best A game, right? Who do you fear them? Who's got the best A game? To me, it's got to be Kansas City. Not as a complete team, but offense. Mahomes went into San Francisco and dropped 40 on
him. Oh, no, it's KC.
I mean, think about that.
The A game goes to Kansas City.
But what if Buffalo's firing on all cylinders offensively? I mean, this guy, again, is at a 14-1 touchdown INT ratio until last week. How good Allen's been and the weapons that he has. But you're a little concerned about Dorsey. I could see that as well with some of the play calling. But it's a tough game. It's a tough game, but I will be surprised if Buffalo blows them out, even with the injuries and the issues with the O-line. I just think how do you go against Burrow in a big game, what he's done in this ridiculous ATS run? When you want to take the 6, I don't blame you. Absolutely, they can win the game, though. I mean, he's on a 20-2 ATS run, not named Cleveland, and it's like 22-4 now, going back to last year in the playoffs, the ATS run.
Yeah, and what was the number on him when he's catching at least 3 points? The number on Burrow is absolutely absurd. I'll get it here in a second coming up. But there's also this, Paulie, to keep in mind, that the Bills are elite on defense when the quarterback holds the ball for at least 3 seconds before throwing it. There you go. Joe Burrow is 13-2 when he's catching 3 points or more. ATS.
Nice.
Huge.
Not surprising.
So Bills elite when the quarterback holds the ball for 3 seconds or longer, right? They're basically the best team in the league defensively, or one of them. They drop to a bottom 5 unit when the quarterback releases it below 3 seconds. And going back now for several weeks, Burrow is getting rid of the ball on an average about 2.5 seconds per snap.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And that's what we saw briefly in that Monday night game before DeMar Hamlin went down and had to have CPR. You saw the quick releases. They were isolating receivers on the outside. And it looked like, again, it was 10 minutes of action. It looked like the Bengals were going to have their way with the Bills defense in that game.
Yep. And this chip on their shoulder, too, with how they got the raw deal, with how that played out. I don't know. Everyone's motivated this time of year. But I do think this mixing disrespectful thing is ridiculous. I mean, everyone's selling tickets for championship games. So it's not like the league want Bills Chiefs? Probably. But still, everyone's selling tickets for the AFC title game. So what is the question and the answer was absurd yesterday. The other thing, we have 4 games, but we have 3 kickers with the yips and with issues. And the Cincinnati's one of them. I mean, after what happened last year, and he's a big reason why they won the Super Bowl, it's 45 yards and the game's on the line. Do you trust McPherson? I can't say I do.
Not really right now.
No. That could be enormous in this game. And Buffalo, number one in special teams.
Yeah.
With the kickoff returns and the success they've had, when it could be a close game, and every turnover, every mistake matters. I think the special teams could loom large this weekend.
No, there are 3 parts to the game. Special teams can be huge. They have the best unit overall in the entire league, like you just said, and that can come up massively in playoff games, obviously. This is Bengals head coach Zach Taylor. Why preparing for Buffalo is such a challenge?
They're really smart. They're well coordinated, and you can just tell they've got high football intelligence just across the board on defense, on top of all the talent that they have. And so, you know, they've done a good job. They've got a lot of depth at corner, a lot of guys played in there. Their two linebackers are as good as any group we've played, and just top to bottom, really good, well coached, smart defense. They don't make mistakes. They don't beat themselves. So you know you gotta take everything you can get when you play against them.
Well, Allen has been making mistakes, actually.
Oh yeah.
The coaching edge to who?
Well, I give it to McDermott.
Slight edge?
Yeah. Yeah. Quarterback. Okay. I have to give Burrow the quarterback.
I was going to say, when both quarterbacks show up with their absolute A game, who's better? Because you can't forget that Allen didn't have that stretch where it was 14-1.
Yes.
When his A game is there, Josh Allen looks like an alien.
Sure. And he can rip off a 15-yard run. And design runs, too.
And put a shoulder down and level a defensive back.
It's always been a tough place to play as well. And they're 7-1 at home in the fluke loss against the Vikings. And it's postseason success they've always had in Buffalo, too, in home games. That's another thing. And that's, again, why it's enormous that they get this game at home with what happened and Cincinnati calling BS on it.
Yeah.
It's a tough game. I like San Francisco a lot. I think Kansas City wins. And the point spread, backdoor could be open. I think the Eagles win. I mean, this one's tough. I could see a close game. I don't see a blowout. I'll say that.
Okay. So, again, I think these teams, if sixes pop up at most spots today, we're getting carried away. These teams are much closer than a six-point spread.
Yep, fair enough.
Again, it might not play out like that. Bills could win by 7. Bills can win by 10, whatever, a couple scores higher than that. But the Bengals getting 6 against anybody?
Yep. Oh, for what we do, we're fans, but also for what we do in our business. If the both home teams win Saturday, football fans win. I mean, you got to see that. You want to see the best teams championship Sunday, and you want a great matchup in the Super Bowl. And we have that if both home teams win.
We do.
And the other thing, I live and breathe. I've lived here for 20 years. They keep building towers and adding on to these casinos. The whole world is going to have a Chiefs-Eagles teaser.
Yeah, I'm going to lose that bet somehow. I am.
Everyone's going to have it. The whole world will have it.
Oh, Saturday night, 7 o'clock Pacific time, I'll be 4 beers deep. Just crying in my beer. That will happen. Football playoffs are heating up, baby. Divisional round, Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook. Bet Rivers is your go-to book for all things football this playoff season. Celebrate this weekend with their divisional round parlay insurance. Then extend the fun throughout the rest of the playoffs with their playoffs first touchdown insurance. Log on to BetRivers.com or download the Bet Rivers app today to get in all the action. Bet Rivers, where it is a whole new game. Up next, Paul, he's going to recap last night's betting action and win some, lose some, a 16-point favorite. Lost outright, and in doing so, snapped their 70-plus game home-winning streak. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of Bitcoin, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome back. DraftKings Casino brings you a new era of your favorite games. Blackjack, roulette, slots, live dealer table games, huge wins. As always, a player bet $10 and won $85,000 on Divine Fortune. Another player bet $20 and won over $40,000 on 777 Surge. Download the app. New customers can have their choice of either deposit bonus up to $2,000 or $50 in free credits when you deposit $5 signing up. Download the DraftKings Casino app. Use code VSiN to claim the offer. Casino.DraftKings.com for full details.
We are loaded to the gills today. NFL divisional round, and we'll get some perspective here from the other side of the counter. As Thomas Gable joins the program, he is the director of the Race and Sportsbook at the Borgata in Atlantic City. Thomas, good morning. Thanks for the time today. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. Great to be with you.
Yeah, I always find this discussion fascinating. Like, for example, you know, during the pandemic when we had nothing to bet on, the Russian ping pong became so popular in certain jurisdictions. And out here, I'm guessing that Sunday's game between the Cowboys and the 49ers, the popularity of that game in Las Vegas will just be ridiculous, Thomas. But of course, you're based in AC. So how popular is this Philadelphia and New York Giants game right now?
It's going to be off the charts. I mean, we're probably doing five times the business on that game as we are any of the other three games. And, you know, again, these are divisional round playoff games. So every single game, you know, you're writing a ton of business on, but this Philadelphia Giants game is going to be just huge because it's the two big customer bases that make up Atlantic City. You know, it's New York and Philadelphia. That's where, you know, 90%, I would say, of the customers in Atlantic City come from, those two markets. So it kind of sets up the perfect storm here for us on a playoff weekend on a Saturday night. I walked in to work this past Monday morning. I was told, well, there's no seats available for Saturday. Everything's already booked up. Mm. So it's going to be, it's definitely going to be a big one. And, you know, right now we haven't moved off the 7.5. Philly's favored by 7.5. The total 48 right now. And again, it's slightly up from where we opened at 47, but a little bit more Giants money currently. Getting that hook, I think, is certainly favorable for the Giants backers, but I expect this to be pretty evenly bet. And, you know, unless some giant casino player comes in and, you know, drops a $500,000 wager on one of the sides, which certainly could be the case. I mean, you never know when something like that could happen, but I see this game being pretty evenly bet for us. And it's just going to be the Eagles teaser liability tied to the Chiefs in the early game. I mean, that was obviously the very popular teaser play for this weekend. And that's not going to be just for us. That's going to be probably for any sports book across the country. They're going to have teaser liability on the Chiefs and the Eagles. But I mean, when you look at these teams with the Eagles and Giants, Philly is pretty much on paper. They are the better team in almost every area. They have the better offensive line. They have the better defense. They have the better quarterback. They have better skill position players.
Yeah.
Maybe you give the Giants a slight edge at running back with Barkley, But I think the one thing that people are counting on with the Giants is what they've seen from Brian Daboll. He has this team playing as good as they possibly can. And he's been a tremendous game manager for them. And, I give him a lot of respect for what he's done for this Giants organization in year one. I certainly think they're going to have a bright future. Nobody expected them to be here at this point, but Philly just is just a much, much better team. And, the fan base here for Philly, they're still backing them like crazy. We had last Friday, we had a family come in, father, mother, and son. The mother comes up to the counter first, puts $5,000 on the Eagles at 6-1 to win the Super Bowl. The son comes up right behind her, does the exact same wager, and then the father comes over the top and puts $40,000 on the Eagles Super Bowl. So, just another family day out at Borgata.
Yeah, right.
$1,000 Eagles Super Bowl futures.
That's great. Thanks for sharing that. That's awesome. What is, from a fan standpoint, and also for a business standpoint, what are your two best Super Bowls matchup scenarios there?
Well, I think from a business standpoint, having either the Giants or Philadelphia in the Super Bowl would be great for business. Obviously, our liability is very much tied to the Eagles. We have a little bit of liability on the Giants for the Super Bowl, and not much, but mostly it's going to be on Philly there. But I think if any of these top seeds, if all the top seeds advance, in this round, you can't go wrong with any of the Super Bowls that are potentially sitting out there. I'll say this. I think, we've only been at this post-PASPA, right, in Jersey. This Eagles-Giants game, absent Super Bowls, this could potentially be the biggest football game that we've booked since PASPA fell.
That is massive.
Wow.
Yeah.
Incredible.
And it makes a lot of sense for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So then how about some look-ahead lines here? If we get the chalk to prevail this weekend in the NFC, what would you make the Niners playing at Philadelphia? What is that number in your head?
I would make it a pick. I have the Niners rated slightly ahead of the Eagles at this point, but the home field advantage, there definitely would be one for Philadelphia there. But I would make that game a pick 'em.
Okay. But you would anticipate money coming in on Philly then, right? Based on where you're at?
Yeah, absolutely. For us, I would absolutely anticipate that.
Yeah. Okay. What do you make on a neutral AFC title game if we get that game in Atlanta between the Chiefs and the Bills?
I would actually make the Chiefs a 1-point favorite in that to open.
Oh, you would? Okay, even though the Bills were favored at KC earlier this season.
Yeah. I actually have the Chiefs slightly above the Bills right now, my power rating. So, I on a neutral, I would put Chiefs as a point favorite.
Okay, and one more. What do you make KC at home to the Bengals?
Yeah.
KC at home to the Bengals, I'd make Kansas City 5.5.
Okay, interesting. You briefly mentioned it. In all your years doing this, what can you compare the teaser liability to that you're going to face on Saturday? It sets up beautifully with the one seeds at home and how it works out, and they're right in that sweet spot.
Yeah, that's a great question, Paulie. There's not a scenario that I can really recall, especially being in a playoff where there's only four games like this and the standalones on Saturday. So it's tough to even think that there would be one that would be comparable since we've been doing this in Jersey.
Mm-hmm. Did you get early sharp money on the Bills when it was, the opener on Sunday night, probably like around 4, 4.5? Were you moving along with the market? How did that number shape to this point for you?
Yeah, we opened the Bills 4. Now they're currently sitting 5.5. And there was early money on the Bills there. And I think a lot of that really comes down to the state of the offensive line for the Bengals. Now, obviously, we saw Cincinnati advance to the Super Bowl last year with a very questionable offensive line. But losing three key pieces when you're going into Buffalo, that's a big blow to that Bengals team. I think people were probably taking Buffalo. and laying the points there early on. And now you've seen mostly 5.5s here. There are some sixes out there, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say, Thomas, do you anticipate that number going to six at the Borgata?
We'll see. I think the way we're sitting right now, I think 5.5 is the right number for us. So I don't see us getting to six, especially today, unless we start seeing a lot more Buffalo money come in.
Awesome spot today, Thomas. Thanks so much for the time. Enjoy the weekend.
All right. Thank you, guys. Enjoy the games.
Yep, you too. There you go. Thomas Gable, he is the race and sportsbook director at the Borgata in Atlantic City. If you're in that part of the country, go and visit him this weekend. That would be a madhouse to watch the Eagles and Giants game there. That would be so much fun.
Yeah. Family comes in. 5,000 over the top.
What'd you guys do this weekend? Well, you know, I took Timmy to the Borgata, and Shelly, she put 5,000 on Eagles to win the Super Bowl. Then Timmy went up there and put five dimes. And then, you know, I had four stacks of High Society in my backpack. So I said, got 50 dimes on the Eagles to win the Super Bowl.
A lot of this is how these teams look, too. Because I tweeted it out. I love Cincinnati after the Bills almost blew that big lead against Miami and what I watched on Monday night. And then they looked pathetic on Sunday night, fortunate to win the game, and another lineman goes down.
Yeah.
So also, does somebody win because of an injury? Is there a massive injury? Someone win and on the using four turnovers to their advantage, something crazy. But interesting that he would make Kansas City 5.5 against Cincinnati, and Kansas City favored. Against Buffalo on a neutral.
Yeah,
and you mentioned what happened the first meeting.
And we talk about that all the time here on the show and in the network. What is a player worth to the point spread? And typically an offensive lineman, one, will not be worth anything. But when you have cluster injuries this, it's now three guys. And then it was floated out there that Kappa could actually come back and potentially play for the Bengals. Would it stabilize or would it come back to the Bengals at that point? Maybe it would by like a half a point. But you're seeing now when you have three guys go down and sharp money, respected money, kind of rushing to bet the Bills at -4, -4.5 based on three guys being out. That's huge, man. At one position like that, when you're down to, and we saw it last week against the Ravens, it was not pretty for the Bengals. You know? Once Jonah Williams went down.
Can't run the ball anyways.
Yeah, I know.
When they were healthy.
Yep. All right, up next, he has crushed his last six playoff games, and he's staring at one of the weakest defenses in the league at covering his position. Wait until you hear his incredible numbers next on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
We're ready for tomorrow. Bet Rivers is ready. The Maher prop is up. The house special. We miss an extra point Sunday. Yes, +250. Your go-to book. Celebrate this weekend with the divisional round parlay insurance. First touchdown insurance. Log into BetRivers.com or download the app today to get in on the action. It's a whole new game at Bet Rivers.
The great Adam Chernoff joins the program now. Longtime friend of the show, NFL veteran handicapper, and the voice of the Simple Handicap podcast. We'll do some breakdowns here with player props. He was kind enough to join us on Tuesday as well as today. Good morning, sir. How are you today?
Doing great. Third final football Friday of the season, so let's make it count.
No. Okay.
Let's begin with this. Did you get sucked into playing the most obvious teaser in the history of the NFL?
Of course I did, 100%. How can you not play the Chiefs-Eagles teaser? And I know it sounds a little goofy and comical, but you're still playing an advantage teaser, albeit the Chiefs-Jags total a little high.
It shouldn't
be that high. Maybe we'll talk about the total. But yeah, you're looking at that, both favorites on Saturday. Everybody's going to have it, but to me, it's a teaser you have to play, whether you like it or not. Two far superior teams with good matchups on both sides of the ball in that teaser on Saturday. So yes, I did. I'm guilty of it, and I'm happy to have that ticket.
Take us through that and start with the early game tomorrow, why you think the Chiefs cover as well and why it's such a tough matchup for Jacksonville, please.
So earlier on Tuesday, we had Kansas City given out. If you're looking at 53 this morning as well, I think the under is going to be a bet that potentially comes in a little bit too. So I like that under at 53 as well. A lot of bet for a divisional weekend. But when I'm looking at this matchup, The Chiefs, they're going to have success against this Jags defense, whether it be through the air or on the ground, where I specifically think there's a little bit of an extra focus for what they want to do this week. The Jags specifically struggle against two positions more than any other team. That's running backs and tight ends. You think about just the staple of the Chiefs offense. It's Travis Kelce. It's Jerick McKinnon. Both of them really sort of stabilized that offense. But now Juju's coming back full 100% health. The entire team is back really off of the bye, looking to be in a really good spot. And this Jags defense, again, guys, like you look down the stretch, any time that they step up in class, they played the easiest schedule of opposing offenses all season. The last 6 weeks of the season, when they had to face a top above average offense, Cowboys, they're putting up 34. The Lions hung 40. Last week, the Chargers 31. And that first meeting against the Chiefs, it was nearly 500 yards. When they're not playing backup and third string quarterbacks, it looks really, really different on the field. And so I think with all that said, Chiefs and under, but then also for a prop, Jerick McKinnon rushing yards, to find that at 24.5 this morning. It's moved up a little bit. Still value. He's going to be on the field for a lot of snaps. He's going to get some runs, more so than he's maybe going to be targeted in the pass game as he usually is. And that's a too short a number there at 24.5.
Okay, very good. Excellent breakdown. How about Saturday night? Why do the Eagles cover? And also a prop you like too, please.
So we'll get the prop out of the way. It's Daniel Jones rushing yards. And we'll say over 44.5, I think, is a fair number to give this morning. Not playing Josh Allen rushing yards over. That's another one. And obviously the Bills game that's going to be popular. But this is the Daboll angle. Last year, as well as the year prior, Allen rushing props in like high leverage games were as good as it came for as a prop bet. Like everyone was betting them every week. Everyone was doing well with them. It's kind of like the Daboll staple of the offense. In these big games, he gets his QB running. What did we see last week? Daniel Jones goes for 78 yards before kneel downs. That was a spot where it was a Brian Daboll offensive game, high leverage situation in the playoffs against the Vikings. Team that plays a lot of zone coverage, he's still got Jones running a ton. So following suit here against the Eagles, who are a team that notoriously plays very soft and off the ball, doesn't allow a lot deep, very similar style to what Minnesota played, we're going to see a spot where there's a lot of Daniel Jones runs again under Brian Daboll. With all that said, I think this is a spot where the Giants are going to be playing comeback. I'm looking at this number at 7.5. I don't think the reports about Hurts are nearly as bad as it is made out to be. I think the Eagles are going to have success on the ground. I think with Lane Johnson coming back and at least playing, he makes a big difference on that offensive line. And the Eagles are going to have to figure out a way where they just generate a little bit of pressure up front, because the Giants are going to get everything easy underneath. But that doesn't mean it's necessarily conducive to coming back if they're trailing. And we know the Eagles so good when they're playing from ahead. So I think the Eagles here undervalued. I think the Giants getting a bit too much credit for beating a really bad Vikings team. Again, we're looking at this number as the same spot we saw when it was in New York just a few weeks ago when everybody was playing within that game. Now we have the venue change, Eagles off the bye. I think we're too short here.
Let's follow the money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Adam Chernoff, you can follow him on Twitter. He's at Adam Chernoff, and his podcast is called The Simple Handicap. During the break, you told us that in this Bills-Bengals game, you have maybe your favorite player prop in like seven or 8 weeks. Can't wait to hear what it is and why you like it so much.
Yeah, I was going back and looking at just the differences between what I was betting, where the number was, and this Burrow completions over prop is showing a ton of value right now at 25.5 to the over, because I think one major thing is being talked about, but maybe not fully priced in to this completions number for him, which is right on par with where these numbers have closed for Burrow all season long. He's been a guy in the 23.5 to 25.5 range all season. That's what we're seeing right now again this morning. But it's what everybody's been mentioning, the offensive line for Cincinnati. They lost another starter last week in Williams. They're now going to be down three starters for this game against the Bills. Joe Burrow, second quickest release over the course of the season. But that is going to be pushed a little bit more, obviously, considering another offensive line starter is down. The Bills as a defense overall tend to concede things short and underneath as is. They're pretty content doing that. But also, this is a Bills secondary that is far from 100% healthy as well. And so when you think about what Cincinnati wants to do on offense, what they're going to be forced to do because of the offensive line changes, that's going to mean a little bit quicker passing for Burrow. He's going to be getting the ball out quickly. But I think these receivers going to do just fine against this secondary as well on these short passes. So looking at 25 and a half completions to the over, number should be closer to 30. Really good bet here on Burrow over 25 and a half completion.
Okay, and you like the under as well?
I like the under in the game. We gave it out on Tuesday at 51, and that was maybe generous, 50 and a half widely available, but we're seeing 48 and a half now this morning. I would wait. We're probably in a situation where this is the Sunday game. People are going to see Allen versus Burrow.
Yeah.
Probably going to see some over money creep back in, but I do think the under here is the side, especially if some weather creeps in as well. That's kind of lingering on both sides of the game, but just given the state of the Bengals offense and how the Bills are going to approach playing this Cincinnati defense, I think the under was a good look too.
Adam, this game touched six at two different spots in Las Vegas yesterday. If it hits six at most shops, are you going to be intrigued by that number with the Bengals?
I would, at six, yes. That's okay. The only way that I could look at it. I've played nothing on the side in this one. So six would twist my arm, but at five and a half, I'm on the sideline.
And one more for people who missed it on Tuesday, the Dallas-San Francisco game over.
Yeah, and that's still bettable right now at 46. So again, we had a little bit better of a price on Tuesday, but if you're seeing 46 this morning, still like this game over. I think the Cowboys are going to have success against the Niners secondary, which, again, the last few weeks, especially last week, you go back and look at some of the highlights in that game against Seattle. The box score didn't show it, but there were receivers that were running wide open. And now I think the Cowboys, they're going to be able to take advantage of what Geno and company could not. So I think the Cowboys are able to move the ball. But I also think the 49ers going to have plenty of success as well, whether it be on the ground or throwing it through the air. Cowboys secondary is certainly beatable as well. And we did not see that on display against Tampa Bay. Well, that game was just ugly all the way around. But we did see down the stretch some very mediocre, at best, quarterbacks take advantage of this Cowboys secondary. That pass rush for Dallas, a little bit beat up, too. And against this offensive line for the 49ers, we're just clearing up so much space. I think San Francisco is going to have no problem moving the football here as well. So at 46, if you can still get that over, which you can this morning, that is still a good bet as well.
You said it to begin the segment. Sadly, we are down to three football weekends, and the season is over with. But these games are just
quickly,
awesome.
Didn't it? That was a quick season.
Oh, man, I know. It seems like it always is, but this year, for sure. Adam, thanks for the time as always, man. Crush it this weekend.
Thanks very much, guys. Enjoy the games. Talk to you next week.
Yep.
No doubt about it. With those plays, hope he has a monster weekend, as always, though, as well. A good point, too. He's right about the Seattle game. I mean, they had success. Metcalf had the biggest output for a receiver of the week, and that fumble in the red zone changed everything. I mean, they're driving, they're going in, and then the sack, was Bosa, and the recovery, and then they couldn't get a stop, but they were moving on him all game.
Yeah, to his point about the Niners secondary, on top of that, Paul, what you just said, I heard a stat that when the target is 15 yards or more down the field, they are actually 31st in the NFL. Against shots taken that deep by quarterbacks. That's not good.
Man.
That's one of their very few weaknesses across the entire team. Mm-hmm. As we roll along here on a Football Friday, it's Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of Bitcoin, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah, yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Polly Howard on VSiN.
Everything heating up at Bet Rivers, your go-to book, all things football this playoff season, divisional round parlay insurance, playoff first touchdown insurance, the Brett Maher prop is up with the house specials. Log on to BetRivers.com or download the app today to get in on the action. It's a whole new game at BetRivers.
So, Paulie, this Chiefs-Jags point spread was sitting at 8.5 at most shops for much of the week. Now it's touching 9 at a lot of them, total at 53 or 52.5. And we'll talk about it here as Seren Petro is kind enough to join us here on a Friday morning. Great radio host at Sports Radio 810 WHB in the city of KC. Seren, thanks for the time. How are you?
Gentlemen, I am doing well. Thank you for having me. Looking forward to the games this weekend.
Absolutely. We'll get some of your bets that you like coming up here in a minute. Let's start with this. The one part of Jacksonville's game, maybe one of their strengths, that should concern KC the most would be what, in your opinion?
I guess it would be the rushing attack of the Jaguars. I mean, they're committed to it. Even when they were, building a 27-0 deficit, I think they ran it 18, 19 times during that stretch. Like, Doug Peterson, I think, is a very good head coach that is realistic about what his team is. You know, I think that's the mistake a lot of coaches make, is that they look at their team and they coach like what they want it to be and not what it actually is. The fact that he was committed to and dedicated to running the football, even as they were, digging a giant hole, speaks to the fact that he is absolutely in touch with what his team is and will stay committed to whatever it is that they do best. So, I think running the ball, the Chiefs are a much improved rush defense this year. I think a lot of that's the fact that they improved their defensive line. They changed D-line coaches. They got better there. But I think that's, if you can keep Patrick Mahomes off the field, that's a step in the right direction. He can still win with only, 21 minutes of actual time of possession. But that's where I think they'll be dedicated. I don't think they can do that, but that's the one thing that I would look at that I think that they could create some problems.
I would say this as well. The Chiefs defense was great against the Raiders in Week 18. That game feels like it's 2 months ago now, by the way, for what it's worth. Can you take anything away from that performance or no?
I think the Chiefs are going to try to. They played a lot of sloppy football leading up to that. That was the first time they kind of put it all together. And I think there's a feeling in Kansas City and a want to believe that that's the team that they really are, that maybe they were bored with the regular season. They're a team that's been in 4 straight conference championship games. And so that, in the back of their mind, it's not the mindset, and Andy Reid would never admit this, but that maybe they know they're going to be defined by what they do in the postseason. So all of their best football is lying ahead. And the fact that they were, you know, all the phases put together, they've been god awful on special teams, and they're usually one of the best teams in the NFL at special teams. So the fact that they weren't turning the football over, which has been a big problem for them, they, you know, usually they're very good at that, way into the plus, and they've been negative this year. They got back to playing the way I think they want to play, and I think Chiefs fans, and I'm sure the organization would like to believe that that's the real Kansas City Chiefs, and if that is the case, then they managed to win 14 games not playing their best football. That would be a scary proposition for the rest of the NFL.
How about the concerns about Butker? You mentioned the special teams, and if you trust him with a big kick.
No, they're 100% real, and it's not just Butker, it's Tommy Townsend, the holder. You know, Dustin Colquitt took to the airwaves on my radio station talking about the things that he sees, and Dustin Colquitt was a Pro Bowl punter and a Pro Bowl holder, and he actually told me this a couple of years ago. They brought him back in 2020 when Tommy Townsend was a rookie late in the year, basically to kind of coach Tommy Townsend to be a better holder and some of the nuances of the punting game. And Townsend's a Pro Bowl punter this year. He's got a tremendous leg, distance is no problem, hang time, all that. But the holds have been a problem. And Dustin Colquitt talked about how he spins the ball the wrong way, brings the laces across in front of Harrison Butker. You know, all the things that you know, technically he was doing wrong. So I don't think if, you know, 3-4 years into his career, Tommy Townsend is still a flawed holder, that suddenly got fixed over the last couple of weeks. So I think it's a major concern that if the games are close, and that's obviously with the spread this week, isn't that kind of game, but you get later on against the Buffalo or Cincinnati or a Super Bowl, and you're talking about a 2.5-point spread, then I think I get a lot more concerned about what they're doing in the kicking game, because misses have been a regularity this year.
Well, Saran, let's pretend for a second here that Butker and the special teams, they pull a Cowboys and a Brett Maher right away in this game. You know how creative Andy Reid and Bieniemy are close to the goal line. Could they just pull the plug, like going beyond that, and say, you know what, we're going to go for two?
You know, I think if they were, you know, if it was the second half and they were in a dogfight, I think they might do it. But, you know, Andy Reid always coaches like his players are going to come around. Like, I think it's a little bit of a – it's potentially a flaw, right? It's a strength if it's, you know, okay, hey, it's week seven and we're going to do this because we need to build his confidence and we're going to need him coming down the stretch or in the postseason. Will he shift gears and say, I'm not messing with that, go for it on more fourth downs instead of taking the field goals, go for two instead of taking the extra points? Probably not. Based on how I think this game is going to go, I don't think he's going to need it. Like, I think they could leave the kicker at home and still win this football game against the Jacksonville Jaguars this week. I'm fairly confident that the Chiefs are going to cover the number, I'm very confident that the Chiefs are going to cover the number. But if he got into that kind of dogfight, he has not shown I would say, as much ability to shift gears into what needs to happen as much as you would like. Like, last year's game, regular season game against the Bengals, he needed to let the Bengals score. And he didn't recognize that opportunity and had no good answer for why he didn't afterwards. So I think he is a little bit old school when it comes to maybe some of the modern approaches to managing the game score coming down the stretch.
How about the comments from Lawrence when they set the decibel record for noise a couple of years ago? How's that playing there? And also, have you any time what the fans think or the organization thinks about a game in Atlanta?
You know, I think more so Trevor Lawrence saying, you know, they feel like they left a lot on the table in the first game. And I think there's some accuracy in that, but I don't think the fans really appreciated that. The team was Chris Jones was very jokey and happy. Andy Reid was kind of, suspiciously, you know, joking around and happy. Yesterday was kind of like what is his last media session, and we call those a fast Friday because Andy Reid's total media session might take like a minute 20 because it's usually one word. And it's almost like he's, you know, presenting a game face to his team, like, we're serious now, it's time to go. And he was very lighthearted. Now maybe we'll look back at it and say, oh, they weren't taking the Jaguars seriously. But the perception around town is that Chris Jones being affable, and he always is, but being very talkative at the podium, and Juju Smith-Schuster was saying the right things. You know, Andre Sisco had a hit that knocked him out of the game that originally was called a helmet to helmet. They picked up the flag, and people were upset about that, but he was very celebratory after that hit, and Juju had the, you know, said, oh, no, he texted me, we're all good. And, you know, there was a feeling that this team is very confident, that all that, you know, good vibes was a confident team. So I don't think any of the comments from Jacksonville are really worrying this team, because I think, you know, again, and maybe this will sting them, I think they know their season will be defined by the Bills or Bengals in the next round and then hopefully playing for a championship after that.
Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Saran Petro, host, WHB, Sports Radio 810 in Kansas City. You mentioned that you liked the Chiefs to cover then 8.5. Did you bet it straight? Are you going to do a tease? It's like the world's most popular teaser this weekend. Chiefs down at 2.5, Eagles minus 1.5, or is it just a minus 8.5 play for you?
You know, I'll have them on the money line as part of a parlay for all the games. You know, I like to bet all the games of the weekend on a money line parlay. So I'll have that, but I will also have them minus the points, and I will probably lay even more points. I'll try to get some return on. Yeah. I'll take the spread up. Listen, my prediction on the score was 36-13 Chiefs. I don't think they're going to be nibbling on their nails. I don't think the Jags are going to be able to come back. What gets to the Chiefs is being able to pressure Patrick Mahomes with just your front line and maybe even three. You know, teams have done a great job of getting after, not a lot of them, but at times when they've had success, teams have gotten after Patrick Mahomes by rushing three and leaving a spy in to take away his ability to run for the first downs. That's what the Bills did. Matt Milano did a great job of spying on him, and I don't think the Jaguars can do it. They don't have the front, even though they've invested a lot in it. They don't have the front that can just get after Mahomes with the defensive line, and so that's how you really create problems, because Andy Reid's going to throw the ball, even though they're more effective running it. Isaiah Pacheco has given them a dimension, and he went for, I think it was 15 for 107 last time against the Jaguars. Like, they can be a balanced team against Jacksonville, but Andy Reid's always going to throw it more. He knows you throw to win and run when you're winning. But I just don't think Jacksonville can put that kind of pressure on Mahomes the way the Bengals have done when they've come in here. And then on the other side, I think the Chiefs will pressure Trevor Lawrence. I think they're much improved against the run. They'll try to run, but I don't think they'll be effective running the ball. And I think the Chiefs can get after Lawrence, which will be the key to the game.
Saran, 30 seconds here. So the Chiefs will be playing the Bills in Atlanta, or they're going to be hosting the Bengals in the AFC title game?
Yeah, I think they'll play the Bills in Atlanta, okay. But the numbers on the Bills and Bengals make me think that that's going to be a pretty tight game. I think the Bengals cover, but the Bills win. But I think ultimately the game is played in Atlanta.
You can follow him on Twitter. He is at Saran Petro. Enjoy the game tomorrow. Thanks for the time today.
Always my pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Be good. There you go. He's on Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. 36-13, his call for the Chiefs game.
Great insight on the special teams and the kicking situation.
Yep.
Wow, that's awesome.
And also
awesome.
Andy Reid, how he approaches
sure,
it. He's very confident in his guys.
Yep.
If you miss one, it's okay. But maybe in crunch time, if they have to have it, they'll maybe go for two at that point. He also said he's going to lay out numbers with the Chiefs.
Yeah. Well, you got to feel good with this kid. I mean, he's just he's so damn good. And then just what happened in the first game. It was a piece of cake. I mean, what do they do if they didn't turn it over? He had 330 and four touchdowns, and they had 500 yards. Yeah. Three turnovers.
I will.
A lot of hot time. I mean, they've won 10 of 11. Jacksonville's won 6 in a row. Yeah. The Bengals have won 9 in a row. Bills have won 8 in a row.
I will mention this, and then it's the only time I'm going to bring it up. If the Chiefs don't go to the Super Bowl, if they don't win it this year, I will remind people, Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl 12 years ago now. He has not been back since. If you go back to 2011 and made a number on how many Super Bowl appearances Aaron Rodgers and the Packers would make in the next decade, you would have said 3.
The Westgate put that prop up.
They did. Chiefs
with
Super Bowl wins. Yeah.
Yep. It hasn't happened since.
We'll recap last night's betting action. It was good. Juicy as always. And win some, lose some. Coming up next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Over 300 different ways to bet every playoff game. The house specials are up, the Maher prop, the miss an extra point, everything you want at Bet Rivers. Huge weekend. First touchdown insurance, parlay insurance. Log on to betrivers.com or download the app today to get in on all the action. It's a whole new game at Bet Rivers.
Welcome back. It is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Paulie, when you look at this current point spread in the Niners-Cowboys game, here we go. Niners now favored by 4 at most shops, and the total is on the uptick, now moving up to 46.5. No surprise there. I think it's going to get to 47 by kickoff, and John Lund has covered the 49ers for a long time in the Bay Area with KNBR. Kind enough to join us here on a Football Friday. John, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, boys. Just getting ready for some football. It's getting cranked up.
Yeah, can't wait. This is going to be such a great game. I'm sure that you've heard about it ad nauseum, read about it a lot. I know I have. The comparisons Brock Purdy? Like, who is he? Game managers? Is he Brad Johnson? Is he Trent Dilfer? They have such a great defense. I don't know. What do you think about all that noise? To me, that's a bit much and an overreaction. I think the kid's been incredible so far.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm not grading him as a seventh-round pick or Mr. Irrelevant. It's the playoffs now, so it doesn't matter where you're picked. It doesn't matter if it's first overall or Brady 199. You got to play. And so it's not like this is a cool little story for a seventh-rounder. I can tell you this, in the facility, because I was there yesterday broadcasting, they expect to win a Super Bowl, and it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. And I understand the skeptics because of what Kyle Shanahan does, and I know what the numbers are, how wide open the wide receivers are. And I understand the talent, and they pick up Christian McCaffrey, but it's a combination for anybody. So he's starting to get the criticism. That's what we do. We build up, we break down, and now people are trying to say that he's not this or he's not that. But here's the reality. He's better than Jimmy Garoppolo was, and Garoppolo was in this system for years. He was clearly better than Trey Lance. He's got something about him. He gets rid of the ball quickly. He can decipher very quickly. He doesn't turn the football over. So whether you want to give him credit or not, it doesn't really matter because Kyle Shanahan is the coach. These weapons are the weapons, and it's really a combination of everything, which is why the 49ers offense, you just talked about the total, the 49ers, other than going to Seattle, but that was a short week, and Brock Purdy couldn't even turn. He had broken ribs. They've scored 30-plus points in every single game. They scored 41 last week against Seattle. I know Dallas's defense is really good, but honestly, I think this is a 30-plus point offensive performance again.
I agree with you. I'm concerned about the Dallas defense, and you know, what do you think of this can't continue business? I mean, why not? Why wouldn't they be able to go out and score 30 again when you see he's throwing two touchdowns every single game and what he did against Seattle?
I agree with you 100%. And look, he's got an ability to evade the rush. He's not real fast, but the bottom line is he is on the same page as Kyle Shanahan, and he's the quarterback that Kyle has wanted in terms of Kyle sees it, Brock Purdy executes it. And again, I don't know or care who wants to give him credit, but if you look at just who they have, it's going to be difficult for any team to match up because it's Christian McCaffrey and it's Deebo Samuel, and he's in playoff mode. They kind of kept him under wraps a lot of the season, and now it's playoff time, and they've completely unveiled him. Brandon Ayuk is vastly underrated. Elijah Mitchell is healthy. George Kittle gets lost in all of this. They just have so many offensive weapons, and now I want to give Dallas credit because they've got one of the better fronts, and they've got Micah Parsons, and they can make plays. There's no question about it. But they have a third-string rookie corner, and I know Bland has got 5 interceptions. He's a local kid here from Fresno State. We know him. But their main corner has an Achilles injury in Anthony Brown, and they're going to target that all day long. Plus, Kyle Shanahan has a bunch of stuff up his sleeve. I respect Dallas. I certainly respect their front. They're going to make plays. Mm-hmm. But if the 49ers don't turn the ball over, and that's something that they haven't done under Brock Purdy, they're going to score points.
Yep. In your opinion, how big is the scheduling edge?
I think it's massive, and I think people aren't taking it far enough. Is that, you know, Dallas, obviously the 49ers have extra days because Dallas played on Monday, and the 49ers sat here at home. But if you go back into the schedule, the whole back half of the season, they had 6 of their last 8 games at home, and the games they had on the road were on the West Coast. It was Las Vegas and Seattle. So they haven't left the Pacific time zone for like 9 weeks. They've been very comfortable. They've been at home. Add last week's wild card game, and now Dallas has to go from Tampa to Dallas to back, and they lose 2 days on this whole thing. I think it's massive.
Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest is John Lund, radio host KMBR up in the Bay Area. You can listen to Papa and Lund 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific time up in that part of the country. So if there is a weakness on this Niners team that the Cowboys can exploit on Sunday, what do you think it is?
I know this is strange to say based on the fact that they have the number one defense in the NFL, at least points per game, and in a lot of other areas they've been great against the run. But in the last couple of weeks, they've been a little leaky. I wouldn't say that, you know, it's a major concern, but Seattle was able to run the ball at them a little bit. They've had some injuries in the interior defensive line. They've got some guys coming back, but they're certainly not what they were. And then they've had an injury. Emmanuel Mosley, who in this very game last year had 12 tackles, was really good. He's got an ACL. He's been out for a long time, and they have a corner, Diaminor Lenore, and he's a guy that is kind of up and down. Last week, Charvarius Ward wasn't very good against DK Metcalf, so that's a major issue. And then CeeDee Lamb, he's 53% out of the slot, and that means that Jimmy Ward and Diaminor Lenore are going to have to cover him, and that's a major advantage to me for the Cowboys. So, you know, as strange as it seems, early in the season, the defense was absolutely shut down. They'd give up big plays, but other than that, they were absolutely shut down. Last half of the season, the offense, I'm not going to say carried them, but the offense has been the major story. And at times, the defense, especially over the top with big plays, we saw it last week with a 50-yarder DK Metcalf to give Seattle the lead at 14-13 at the time. They've given up big plays. It's been Diamonor Lenore. At times, it's been Chevarius Ward. And then, although Talanoga Hufanga is an all-pro safety, he has made a lot of splash plays, but in the passing game, he can be beat deep because he can be over-aggressive.
Yeah, here's why you have to like the Niners so much overall. I mean, their roster is just, everybody knows this, right, completely loaded. And when Purdy can drop back to pass or hand off to McCaffrey, I mean, Christian can beat you. Kittle can kill you. It can be Deebo like last week. It could be Ayuk. So trying to pick one of these guys that could go off on Sunday is almost impossible. Or is there somebody here that you think the matchup really suits them against Dallas?
I don't know why Deebo just really gets up for Dallas, but last week before the game, I was doing pregame. It's kind of was going to be his game, and they around here, they just call it playoff Deebo. He just takes it to another gear. During the season, it's kind of weird. It's let's keep Deebo healthy. Last year, because of injuries, they had to run him so much. They didn't run him as much this year. He was injured down the stretch. They were okay with it because they had so much talent on the roster, and they were able to just kind of let him rest a little bit. And now, and we saw it last week, he's going to get a bunch of touches. And between him and McCaffrey, it is so difficult because Kyle puts guys in motion so much. There's a lot of misdirection. You just don't know where guys are going to go. So you can't just focus on Deebo. He had 10 carries in this game last year for 72 yards, including what ended up being the game-sealing touchdown after a K'Wan Williams interception. So to me, it's McCaffrey's going to get his. There's no doubt about it. But Deebo Samuel seems to be in a different mode in the playoffs.
Yeah, great to know. Final score for you, Niners, Cowboys. You have San Francisco winning, I would assume.
Well, I think they're going to score 30. I mean, I respect Dallas' defense. There's just too many weapons, like you said. I think it's going to be something in the range of 31-27. I really think Dallas is going to be able to score two, and I know that's way over the number, but I think Dallas is going to be able to score at times. I think they're going to make some big plays. I think CeeDee Lamb in the slot is a problem. Tony Pollard last year in this very playoff game only had 4 carries, and he had 6 total touches. That's not happening this
Yeah.
I think that Pollard's going to make plays. I think CeeDee's going to make plays. I think it's going to go back and forth, but I think that it would be ironic if Brock Purdy kind of let him down in a 2-minute drill to win the football game, which given what kind of a magical season they've had so far, I think that's probably going to be what happens.
And John, we'll leave you with this. We've talked to two different bookmakers from two different parts of the country in the last week. One from right here in Circa in Las Vegas. We asked him San Francisco at Philly next week. He said San Francisco small favorites. We talked to Thomas Gable today from Atlantic City. He said he would make it a pick'em. So that'd tell you how high this power rating is on the 49ers. If they go to Philadelphia, it's like a pick'em or they might be a small favorite. That's nuts.
I'm really interested to see how Philadelphia kind of, they've had a couple of weeks off, how they respond, and you still don't know what Jalen Hurts is going to be fully. So, you know, the road doesn't bother this team whatsoever. They've gone on the road. You know that. They've won championship games in their history. It's really not a big deal to this team. They seem to galvanize. They played really well in the East over the last number of years. So if they had to go to Philly, I'd be confident as well.
Yeah, John Lund, host Papa and Lund, weekdays 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on KNBR up in the Bay Area, and you can follow him on Twitter. He is at John Lund Radio. Great talking to you today. Enjoy the game.
Thanks, you guys. Appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks, John.
Okay, so it's playoff Deebo. Talking to people in the game, you know, around the team before the game started, like he's going to go nuts, and he did last week.
Rippon, Williams, Flacco, Foles, Brad Johnson, Hostetler, Dilfer. If you have a great team, you know, you just say, all right, go in there.
I think calling Brock Purdy a game manager at this point is an insult.
Yeah, that's fair. Right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily say that's Brad Johnson either.
No, but, I know. Yeah.
But that's, right. I mean, the guy's throwing 2 touchdowns every game.
Yeah. In pocket plays are up next, and we'll leave you with this. Referees could be a story this weekend. I'm saying that based on the assigned crews and how often they throw flags. Details on that coming up next. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.